The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Every day, we look at ourselves in the mirror and seek satisfaction. What will my friends think? Will I be accepted? Will people like what they see? Oftentimes, we immediately focus on the exterior, trying to change what's most visible. But how much of an effect does that really have? Beyond our outward appearance is something much deeper, something more than just behavior, more than just appearances. If we truly seek change, we must look to something greater than our own desires. But what is it that we look to? How can our lives actually be changed?
So a few weeks ago, we started this series called New Year, New Me. We're partnering together with about 20 other churches around the United States, many of which are church plants just like ours that started in the last few years, all kind of partnering together to start off 2013, realizing that even though many of us aren't connected really intimately, that we are a part of something bigger than ourselves. Hope Hill Church is a part of the body of Christ, which exists all around the world, and we want to realize that our mission and our purpose is the same mission and purpose of the church around the world. And it starts with us realizing who God created us to be. We started off the first week looking at, as we enter into 2014, many people take on New Year's resolutions. We looked at some polls that showed that 90% of all resolutions made are broken in the first 5 days. A lot of the resolutions and changes that people hope to make, we talked about, are about the outside, about the superficial, about just what really other people see, and not about true internal change, supernatural change, starting from inside and working its way out. Week one, we talked about how true change is possible, how the scriptures teach that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And it's not just about taking on, becoming a new, it's not about turning over a new leaf, it's about taking on a new life and becoming who Christ created us to be and not just a better version of ourselves. We have been called and set apart for a purpose. You and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, are children of God, made to reflect the image of God in this world to those who do not yet know who He is. And my hope and prayer for 2014 is that we would realize that God is calling us to be on mission together. Together is that key word for today, and to be fulfilling the purpose that He has for our lives as a body of believers. How many of you enjoy spending time alone? How many of you hate that? You just would want to be surrounded by people all the time. More of you said, I'd like to be alone, which is usually, you don't get much response from people who like to be alone, but I actually love being alone at times. I'll find times when it's not too icy or too cold or wet just to go walk in the woods. I found out I do it illegally because I'm supposed to buy a walker's pass or something like that. It's illegal for me to do what I do when I cross over the gate. So if there's a park ranger in here, I'm confessing, and I guess I'll be fined here in a little bit. But anyway, I will go buy a pass, okay? I think it's $20 for the year. And then what if someone told me, if you're like, once you're like 50, which is only 9 years away from me, you get a free pass or something like that. So anyway, I love walking in the woods alone. I'll sometimes just take my dog, Chewy, back there and let him run. And there's this old creek, Quantico Creek. How many of you have been back here in these woods? Yeah. So it's a great place to go. And just, there's not many people back there. And I love just my time alone, just walking, sitting near the creek, and just taking in the things of God that surround us. And a couple months ago, I decided, you know, I wanted to take my Jordan. I kind of have a bucket list for, there's Jordan, my Jordan. I have a bucket list of things that I need to get done before she graduates in a few months. And we're going to stop talking about that because I'll start crying. But anyway, one of the things I wanted to do was to take her to what's it called? Rag Mountain? Is that Old Rag? And so we started up the trail, and after walking about 2 miles from the parking lot, and if you've parked there, gone there, you know what I mean, I was like, wow, this is far. And 7 miles later, we were finally near the top, and it was awesome. It took everything out of me just to get there, but it was amazing. I love being alone, though, but so many times it's so much better to have a shared experience with someone, even if it's just one or two other people. Jordan and I sat at the top of that mountain and just took in just the awesomeness of God as it surrounded us, and it was so much better enjoying that with somebody close to me than just being there alone. That's how it is in life. That's how God intended it, for us to not just be in life alone. There are no lone rangers in Scripture. That's never the way God intended it. God intended us to be in relationship, in community, in togetherness on this journey. And so as we discover who God has created us to be in this series, New Year, New Me, you are new in Christ. Through Christ, God can make all things possible. And as He instructed Joshua and others throughout Scriptures that we looked at last week, in order for you to become the person God wants you to be, you got to first start by surrendering to Him. And then in order to grow in Him the way we should, we have to do certain things in life. God told Joshua, do not part from to the right or to the left, but be careful to pay attention to my law and everything you've been taught. And so there are things that once Christ makes us new that we've got to keep doing in our life to keep the change growing, to keep ourselves growing in Christ. You don't just become more godly on accident. You've got to be intentional about your desire to grow, to be planted in His Word, to get surrounded by other believers that will build you up. And today we want to focus on that latter part, the idea of togetherness, that God has called us to be united together, not just for an hour or two on a Sunday morning, but living life together. We're going to look into some very familiar Scripture passages just to drive this point home into our hearts more, looking back at the earliest of Scriptures, showing us the example that was set for us from the beginning of time. The reality is that we need each other. I can grow alone, but I'll never reach my fullest potential unless I'm involved and with others and being influenced by others. If you look back, you can start back with Genesis chapter 2. God had just made the heavens and the earth. The earth took form, and God made Adam. And God looked at man, and in Genesis 2:18, God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." We are created to be in relationship with our Father and relationship with one another. Adam's first partner was Eve. You look back and you look at people like Moses, who had Aaron and Joshua. Aaron and Ur actually held up Moses' arms as he was praying, as Joshua fought the Amalekites. Joshua had Caleb. Elisha had Elijah. Elijah had Elisha. Daniel had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. David had Jonathan. And even when you jump into the New Testament, you see Jesus choosing 12 to be in community with, his 12 closest friends, his 12 disciples. Peter had John. Throughout all Scriptures, you see them together. And Paul took on several as he traveled out, fulfilling his mission and his purpose in life. And Paul always had others that were either discipling him or that he was pouring into. We need one another. We're called to be on this journey together. There are going to be times when we just simply can't get through life struggles unless we have somebody else with us, helping us. The opposite is always true. You can look at Scripture and see people who tried to go life on their own and failed. You look at Samson, who thought he had enough just to pull through and ended up having a wreck of a life. You look at David, who had a heart after God, but on his own, when left alone, and he made poor choices, ended up committing adultery with Bathsheba. And the list could go on and on. Being in community doesn't necessarily guarantee that you will become a better you, but it puts you in the right place for the most possible change to occur. Real change and growth can happen when you surround yourselves with others who are on this journey with you together. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 and see the beginning example, a passage that I probably pull out almost once a month because it really needs to be the foundation for what our church is about. Acts chapter 2, 42 reads like this. They devoted themselves, they being the early believers, those who had come to know Christ, they had come to know the powerful, saving, life-transforming gospel that Jesus came, he lived, he died on a cross to pay for their sins, and if they put their faith and trust in him, they could become children of God. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. The apostles were those early disciples that had lived for 3 years with Jesus. And Jesus said, as I leave, I will pour my mission onto you. You will be my witnesses to the rest of this world. And they became the early church apostles who Jesus said, everything that I've taught you, teach them. And so they, the early believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship. You can't have fellowship without fellows. You get together, and that's what they did. They got together often, and what did they do? They broke bread together. They prayed together. Everyone was filled with awe and many wonders, and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were what? Together. And they had everything in common. They would sell their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone that had need. And every day, they continued to meet together. Every day, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, not just on visitation night or whatever church program night you have. Every day they were involved in one another's lives, building each other up, caring for each other, carrying each other through the hard times, taking care of one another's needs when there was a need that needed to be met. Every day they continued to meet together. They met in the temple courts, but also they broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And as they had this togetherness, as they were involved in one another's lives, as they were learning the teachings of Christ, as they were praying for one another, as they were sharing each other and taking care of each other's needs, God did what? He added to them, to their number, daily, those who were being saved. Jesus said that those in this world who do not yet know him will come to know him by our love for one another. So as we leave this place, we're not leaving church because we are the church. The church is not a place, it's a people. It is you and I sent to this world to be the church, not just go to church. You are the church. I am the church. And as we are living out our life as the church in this world, loving each other, praying with each other, devoting ourselves to teaching together, to embracing and taking care of needs together, God will add to the number those who are being saved. They will see the good works that we do and come to know and glorify our Father in heaven. It's been said that if the church would embrace what we were created to be, we wouldn't need government systems like welfare and Medicaid. We would be taking care of one another. It wasn't too long ago that those huge tornadoes struck out west. Oh, great. Sorry. Those of you who've been around know that Mike has issues. It's in transit. All right. There were tornadoes. And one of the reports I read was that by like day one, government agencies weren't there. But what the governor of the area said was that the government has not been able to pull together yet, but there are over 50 churches already on ground. If we as the church embrace what God has called us to be, we wouldn't need a lot of what we try to build up. God has called us to love each other, care for each other, to step in and to take care of those in need. We are called to this. As you look through scriptures, every occasion where we read of something of significance happening, it's happening in the context of community. I'm going to try and fix this one more time. Will you mute it for a second? Try it. All right. Every occasion we see where something of major significance is happening, it's happening in the context of community. It isn't happening by one person alone. And God calls us to this. Over and over again in scriptures, we see the body of Christ referred to as a body. We read this passage about a month ago when I talked about our mission for 2014. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 says, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body. God has arranged each of us. He has built us, gifted us, given us talents and skills and abilities that are unique to us, all given by the same Spirit for the purpose of building up the church." It goes on to say that God, in fact, has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, verse 20, there are many parts, but one body. The body. If a body, if we think of just the human body, if one part of the body is missing, it's called handicapped. And we have many churches who are living handicapped because parts of the body aren't in place. And you are the parts of this body. Yes, there are still more that God is going to bring as we are used to reach out to the world around us here. There are others that God will send to be a part of this local body of believers. But each and every one of us here has a part. If you do not yet know Christ, even you were created to be a part of His body. And you just haven't realized it yet. So for some of you, you need to take the first step and just realize that God is pursuing you. He loves you and He wants you to become a part of His family. Hey, open your heart and invite Him in. Accept His love. Realize that He's here to forgive you and take you just as you are. You don't have to go and get your life right first so that you fit in. Come join the lot of us. We're all a mess. Each and every one of us here has a part to play in the body of Christ. And unless we all play our part, we will fall short of realizing the full potential of what God wants to do through us. What is your part of the body? I asked you that question a couple weeks ago. And today, as we end, I'm gonna drive it home today. What is your part of the body? If you're here sitting in a chair and you know that Hope Hill Church is to be your home and you're not engaged, you're not plugged in, you're not fulfilling your part of the body, then at the risk of losing a lot of you, I want to say leave. Because there's no room here. Well, actually, there is a lot of room, but none of us are supposed to be just sitting in a chair taking up space. The church is not here for Christian consumers. We are here to be on mission, doing what God has called us to do, because there is a lost and dying world, and we all need to get busy on mission with God. That is the purpose of the body of Christ. And if God has brought you here, it's for a reason. Let's discover what that is together, and each of us get to doing our part. We don't want to be a handicapped church. We need every part of the body functioning the way He created it to be. So a couple things to drive this home. I want to start by telling you that we is better than me. Say that with me. We is better than me. There are a ton of things that I like to do alone, because the truth of the matter is sometimes it's hard to tell other people what to do. And I'd rather just do it myself. There are a lot of projects in my life that I would rather just do alone. A couple months ago, we started praying about turning our basement into a place where we could provide a place for a family in need. And Brandy started like drawing up this list of all these people that she wanted to help recruit to pull it off. And I just sat in bed going, "Oh, it's going to be so frustrating. I'm going to have to tell I'm going to have to direct all these people. I'd rather just do it myself. She's like, no, I want this done in 10 days. And I want to humbly say that when I get to thinking that way, it's wrong. It's wrong of me to think that I can do these things on my own. And I want to say thank you to a ton of you here who stepped up. And in 10 days, we did our own version of Extreme Home Makeover and provided a home for a family to live in. And it was amazing. When we come together, we can accomplish amazing things. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 puts it like this. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, says, two are better than one, because they have good return for their work. The New Living Translation puts it like this. Two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. We need each other. There are times when sometimes it's easier or it seems easier to do things alone, but that's not the way that God intended it to be. Verse 10 goes on to say, if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him. The Jewish reader, hearing this story back then, knew exactly what this was about, because the roads back there that were considered highways and passageways were full of hidden potholes and uneven roads. And you could easily, when traveling alone, fall, twist an ankle, break your leg, or fall into a pit even. And so you would travel together. In case you fell, you needed someone to be there. In our own life, spiritually, we fall often. We have an enemy that's seeking to trip us up, to make us fall. And without allowing ourselves to be open and vulnerable enough to others in our life to walk this spiritual journey together, many of us can fall into past habits, into struggles, into things that would easily tangle us. That if we had a brother or sister in Christ walking this journey with us, we would be ready to be held up when those times of struggle came. We need to allow God to build us up into the body that He has created us to be, so we can depend on one another. Verse 11 says also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? We need each other. Verse 12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. There are strength in numbers. Some of the things that we have been able to do as a church this past year together is we were able to turn a home around and take literally an unfinished area and turn it into a home. It took 10 days, but because of the work of many of you here, the resources of some, the finances, the hard work and labor of others, it was able to be pulled off. Because of us working together, we were able to this year reunite a mother and daughter together who, because of circumstances, were separate in life. But through finances and love, we were able to bring them back together and provide a place for them to live. A recent widowed mother in our congregation, on the verge of losing everything, was surrounded by one of our community groups and picked up and helped provide a place to live, to provide money for her to pay bills and take care of her needs and to protect her family in a time of need. Many of our teenagers in this church saw the need of teens in some of the areas that we reach out to, and together they were able to reach out and provide tutoring and such to families in need. When we come together and realize the mission that God has called us to, we can become an unstoppable force. Scriptures say that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. And the church is you and I working together on mission, accomplishing God's call for our life. There are gates that need to fall. And as we link arms together, as we partner together on the mission of God, we will see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. There are several out there in this world waiting for us to become the church that God has called us to be. I want to be the kind of church that if we were to ever close our doors and cease to exist, this area would feel the impact and loss of what we're no longer doing. We need to be a source of change and love in this area where God has sent us. So how can we do this? I want to give you four things that if we put these into practice, they will help us truly become the togethered, gathered church that God is calling us to be. As you also look at your own life and you realize we've been challenging you to go to newyearnewme.org to list out your goals. Evaluate where you are with God personally. Where does God want you to be? We showed you some of those last week, some of the goals from around the world that people are listing out. In 6 months, you're going to get a letter, kind of a checkup on you. And what we're encouraging all the churches that are united together is to go to that page often and pray for one another. As we are praying for one another, as we're building each other up and depending on Christ, we can become the people God made us to be and the church that God created us to be. So as you're trying to change that one thing in life that I challenged you with a couple weeks ago, as you're trying to become the person that God created you to be, here are some things to realize that we need through community, through togetherness. The first one is, when we gather together as community, we are encouraged. Encouragement can come when we surround ourselves with friends and family. This exists in a big way through our small groups. In your handout, you'll see here, these are in your handouts this morning. It says community groups. And there are currently 10 groups right now meeting. And we want to see these double because a number of you aren't in them yet. And we want to see these double. We want to see our group, we want to see our community groups become a front door, if you will, to knowing who God is. You reaching out to your neighbors, the people close to you, and inviting them to your home to share a meal and become a part of what your community group is doing together. If you're not involved in the community group, I want to encourage you. This is a great time of year to plug in. Going through February, we're going to be preparing ourselves for a church-wide study called Forgotten God that all our community groups are going to be doing together. I want to encourage you to get plugged in, a great time of year to do that. And you'll be surrounded by people who will help you in time of need, who will be there to encourage you in your walk with Christ. Get involved in a community group so that you can be encouraged. Number two, what comes from community is accountability. How many of you have ever been a part of like a workout plan? Some of you. Some of you and me need it. But when you have a partner to keep you accountable, they can be checking on you. How you doing? Did you make it to the gym this week? They can go with you. They can, what do you call that? Spot you when you're lifting weights. But in life, spiritually, they can be there to take your back as well. Because the honest truth is that all of us have a mess in our life. All of us are dealing with certain things. When we have accountability partners there to surround us, to get close to us, we can be real with them and vulnerable and share things that we wouldn't share just with everybody. And we can spur each other on to deeper growth, iron sharpening iron, building up one another. Accountability comes when we surround ourselves with togetherness. Number three, we gain influence in our life. It's been said that you are, I forgot the phrase. I got it in my notes here somewhere. Who you listen to is a preview of your future self. Who you listen to is a preview of your future self. Who is influencing you? Who do you have around you that is helping shape you into the person that you will one day be? Influence. We need to realize that as a true follower of Christ, we are to be in relationship with others who are walking towards Christ, helping us become everything He's created us to be. And it's not just about becoming the person for my own benefit, but so that I can be a blessing to others. As God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, we are blessed to be a blessing. So who's influencing you? Who's building you up so that you can then influence and build up others? Are you involved in that kind of community? Are you involved in that kind of relationship with someone? And the fourth thing that we get from togetherness and gathered community is we get impact. One of our core values, one of our key phrases, is that we exist to glorify God, transform lives, and impact the world. When we come together, we can become an unstoppable force that makes a difference. And we won't just be doing something that is of success, but of significance. We can bring change to this world when we gather together. We can make lasting and deep impact in the areas that God sends us. So get involved in community so you can be encouraged. Get involved in community so you can be held accountable. Get involved in community so you can be influenced in becoming the person that God wants you to be. Get involved in community so that we can together make the impact that God has called us to make. So here's a couple closing questions for you. Who are you learning from now? Outside of sitting here and listening to me once a week, who are you learning from? Are you in a community where you're being challenged by other brothers and sisters in Christ? Who are you leading? God has not just called us to sit and to learn from others, but the definition of a leader is you're just one step ahead of somebody else. Who are you leading? Who are you influencing? Who is in your life that is going to help you make and keep the changes that God is wanting you to make? Who is in your life that you're going to help them make and keep the changes that they're supposed to make? That's the beauty of the church, is we're here for one another. We're here to spur each other on, and we're here to be encouraged to keep going on by those around us. The bottom line here is that your commitment to growth and change involves a commitment to community. What's your action step this weekend? Your action step this weekend is to seek out others who will help you make the changes you need to make and keep the changes that you need to be making in your life. Then ask God to give you the ability to influence others. As we are on mission with God, God will blow us away, but by what he wants to accomplish through us. So, are you on board? Are you on mission with us, Hope Hill Church? We're here not just to gather, not just to sing with a great band, not just to study God's word. We're here to make a difference. And it starts by us leaving this place together, being united together, encouraging one another to reach our neighborhoods, to reach our schools, to reach our places of employment, being missionaries disguised as doctors, lawyers, teachers, students, going and being the sent church on mission as his ambassadors. And as we unite together, we can be encouraged, held accountable. We can be making the difference that God wants us to make together. God has so much more for us. Are you on board? This year, we want to encourage you to consider being on board with us. At Hope Hill Church, we do annual, kind of yearly renewable membership. If you are part of what we've been doing this past year and you believe that in 2014, God is calling you to be engaged in a part of the mission here at Hope Hill Church, we want to hear from you. On one side of the card that we have in your handouts, you fill out all your personal information, but don't forget on the back. On the back near the bottom, you check, yes, renew my membership for 2014. And we'll know you're with us and we'll follow up with you and we'll help you get plugged in the way God wants you plugged in. And if you've never made a decision that Hope Hill is your church, there are different boxes down there in the bottom to consider checking. Are you on board with us this year? If you are, we want to hear from you. The second thing I want you to do is I want you to look at these community groups. And if there's not a community group that you feel like God is leading you to join, maybe God is leading you to start a community group. If you're interested in starting one, let us know. Rob Major, is Rob in the room? Rob Major has agreed for this next season to kind of be our community group's lead. And our adult discipleship director, he wants to meet you. Together, we want to help you get plugged into a community group. We want to help you to get united. You can't spur each other on in here. I'm doing all the talking. You need to get in time spending life together, sharing meals together, getting to know one another and encouraging each other. get on board. We need you. God is inviting us to be a part of His mission. This is our time to make a difference in this area.
It's our time. We must rise up and no longer disparage. It's our time, church, to honor our heritage. We have a Savior. He gave it all on the cross. We stand beside martyrs who counted nothing as loss. They took God's mysteries, opened them up for us. Stephen, John the Baptist, Bonhoeffer, Jan Hus. Surrounded by a cloud of witnesses above, it's now our turn to model His unending love. Our mission is one we cannot confuse, nor muddy up with some trite excuse. You say you're not well-versed, ready, or able. I think Moses even tried to use that fable. The time we have, it's now more urgent. If we should hear, well done, faithful servant. Yeah, church, it's our time. It's our time to confess the ways we're mangled, the sins and selfishness that have us entangled. Lust, greed, and pride, their path leads to the grave. Yet we return to our sins as if we're a slave. Can we survive in this putrid Dead Sea? I quote Paul, may it never be. So let's cast aside our individual leprosy and begin to leave a biblical legacy. There's a glorious prize awaiting to be won, and the way to win is to start to run. Let's lace them up and fight the good fight, become to the world both salt and light. Our life on earth is merely a vapor. Our chapter must move from pen to paper. So church, let's get to writing because it's our time. It's our time, church. We have what it takes to help the world from its slumber awake. To Jesus, we are His beautiful bride. Whom shall we fear with Him on our side? We have each other. We are not alone. It's iron to iron in the combat zone. There's a promise of life full of adventure. As long as we give both talents and treasure, the workers are few, the harvest is plenty, with so many lives running on empty. Scores of people trying to cope, they've come to the end of their proverbial rope. Young eyes are wandering, looking for direction. Make sure we point them to His resurrection. The clock's ticking, we're on our dime. Hey church, rise up! It's our time.
Father God, I pray that You would help each of us to see that, God, this life is all about becoming what You've created us to be. God, I pray that You would help us to see that You have a mission, a call, God, for each and every one of our lives, a part for each and every one of us to play. God, I pray that You would help us not to stand behind our selfish ways. The imperfections that are in each of our lives, God, let them not be hindrances, God, but let us throw off those things. Help us to seek You, asking for forgiveness. God, help us to come to You just as we are, saying, God, take me just as I am. And realize, God, that we are called to be a part of helping others come to know You. God, be with us. Use us. God, let us start with those in this room who are sitting here with our hearts towards You right now. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would take us in this moment. Help us to see, God, what it is that You're leading us to do. God, each of us have different parts to play, from cutting bagels and pastries to leading others in worship. God, there are so many things that we need to do. God, outside of these halls, helping feed the homeless, helping provide backpacks and food for those who are without. God, but each of us are called to be a missionary for You. To be taking Your loving message, the gospel, the good news that You took our place on a cross and died for us. But if we simply, God, come to realize that we are lost and hopeless without You, God, but in You all things are possible, and we surrender our lives to You, taking the forgiveness that You offer, we can be made clean. We can be made a new creation. So God, let us start by opening our hearts to you, inviting you into our lives and saying, God, all I am is yours. All I have is yours. Take me, use me. Make me who you want me to be. God, I pray if there are some in this room who are praying that prayer for the first time, that they would realize that in that moment they become a new child, God, a new child of yours, a new creation. And God, with that, they take on a whole new life. God, I pray for those others in this room, each of us, that we would realize, God, that as a part of what you're calling us to, that we would surrender our hearts to give it all so that we can be a part of seeing your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. So God, over these next few moments, show us, God, what our next step is. From surrendering our hearts initially and becoming a child of yours, taking you as Lord and Savior, to becoming a small group leader or a small group host and opening our homes for a community group to meet, to maybe becoming a Bible study leader in our community or in our place of employment, to maybe becoming a children's worker or a youth leader, or joining a setup and tear down team so that church services can happen in a place like this. God, show us all the part that we can play. And help us, God, not to walk away just being content sitting in a chair, but move us to action. God, I pray that over these next few moments, you would help us to hear from you and that we would respond by saying, yes, I'll do whatever it is you're calling me to do, Lord Jesus. As a gathered community, I want us to prepare our hearts now to remember that all of this is only possible because of what Christ did for us on the cross. When his body was broken for us as he was crucified, Jesus Christ himself said, take of this bread, and when you eat of it, think and remember me and my body broken for you. And as you take this cup and drink it, remember that my blood was poured out for you to pay for your sins and to wash you white as snow. So we invite you, church, as you are ready to embrace the call of God in your life, as you're ready to thank him for dying for us so that we can now live for him, come forward and take this piece of bread and dip it in this cup and remember that it is all about Christ and what he has done for us. If you have anything you want to pray about, we have prayer teams in the back. I will be up here at the front ready to pray for you as well. Let us respond as God leads us. Let us be the church God is calling us to be. Move as God leads you at this time. More thing to say. On your cards, on the back, there is an area that doesn't get a lot of attention. It's called serve. If God is leading you to serve in some area, let us know. Check that box. Bring it up when you take communion and just leave it on the table. And we'll take that and get together and pray with you. But check that box. What is it, God, that you want me to do in this church? Let's respond.